globally, nationally, and locally. He is worthy of our praise, and we are excited to continue to serve him as a body of believers in this church. And right now we're going to dismiss all the kids, so if you could please go with your teachers and have a great time, and that would be the time to transition there. So as we continue on this series in the book of Philippians, today I have the opportunity and blessing to share God's word with you. The title of this sermon is Secret for Abundant Living. What if I told you that it is not easy to find joy in the midst of pain, suffering, and uncertainty? What if I told you that as long as you live in this broken and sinful world, being content with who God created you and what you have will be a constant battle in your lives, or our lives? What if I told you that it can be extremely hard, but not impossible, to break free from sinful patterns that will destroy us, our relationship with others, and most importantly, our relationship with our loving Father? Today, we will look at three kingdom principles that will encourage us to apply them in our lives so that we can live an abundant life that will not only bless our lives, but also the lives of others, and ultimately glorify our great and mighty King. These three kingdom principles are available to anyone who desires to learn the secret to having an abundant life while living on this side of eternity. So we're going to pray first, and then we will dig into God's purifying word to learn about these kingdom principles that will surely encourage us and help us live abundant lives for the glory of our great and mighty King. Lord Jesus, we are so grateful that we can come to this place to worship your great and mighty name. We are grateful, Lord, for all that you have done in us to this day. We give you praise for all that you have done through us to this day, Lord. But we want more of you. We want you to speak to our hearts, Lord, as we open your word. Would you, through your spirit, Lord, speak to us so that we can receive your word with joyful and humble hearts. That is my desire, Lord, for you to use me so that your people may be blessed this morning. And we know that you have the power to transform us. You have the power to deliver us. You have the power, Lord, to help us in the midst of our trials and tribulations. So would you help us leave this place, Lord, filled with your joy, your peace, your encouragement, and your amazing love. We thank you for this time. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I encourage you to open your Bibles to Philippians 4, and we're going to look at verses 10 to 13. If you don't have one, you can see it on the screen there. So we're going to read Philippians 4, 10 to 13. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renew your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. I believe that our God wants to encourage us through this message to be more intentional and serious about the abundant life that is only available through Christ our Lord. He wants to communicate to us, so let us begin with verse 11. I am not saying this because I am in need, For I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. The English Standard Version translates this verse the following way. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. So this is the bottom line, brothers and sisters, to be content in every situation, in every circumstance, and through every trial and tribulation, to be content. So kingdom principle number one, learn to be content. A simple definition of the word content is to be satisfied or showing satisfaction with things as they are. Another definition is to be free from care because of satisfaction with what is already one's own. In Hebrew, this word simply means to be pleased. In Stoic philosophy, this Greek word describes a person who dispassionately accepted whatever circumstances brought. For the Greeks, this contentment came from personal sufficiency. But we know from verse 13 that the Apostle Paul, true sufficiency is found in the strength of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Contentment is more inward than satisfaction. The former is a habit or permanent state of mind. The latter has to do with some particular occurrence or object. In 1 Timothy 6, 8, we read the following. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Hebrews 13, 5 says the following. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Finally, we find in 1 Timothy 6, 6, the following revelation. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Dear brothers and sisters, as long as you and I live in this broken and sinful world, being content with who God created us, our identity, and what we have, our earthly possessions, will be a constant battle of ours. But we must fight to gain contentment in our lives. There is no other way. In fact, if we don't fight to be content in every situation and circumstance, you can be sure that every hard situation and circumstance that comes your way will eat your soul, your mind, and your heart away little by little until you find yourself in the worst imaginable condition we can find ourselves in. So when we find ourselves overwhelmed with discontentment, whether it is because of the condition of our world and where it is heading, or with ourselves, how we look, how unhealthy we can get, or we simply want what others have or what we don't have, we must bring to memory all that He has done for us and remember all of the promises that we have learned from His written word to find ourselves fully, fully satisfied in Christ our Lord. We have to become intentional about learning the art of being content in every situation and circumstance. We know that life is a learning process. Just like we learn a certain subject to be more knowledgeable in that area, or we learn certain skills to be more useful or productive, we must learn from our lives, trials, and tribulations, as painful and as difficult as some of these experiences may be, so that we can be content in whatever situation or circumstance we may face in life. Hear me well. The Lord will certainly allow plenty of opportunities in your life that will test you, shake you at times, even to your core, so that we can be content in whatever situation or circumstance we may face in our future. In other words, the Lord will use your present trials and tribulations as a training boot camp to prepare you to be content when harder or more challenging trials and tribulations come your way. I've learned personally that these trials and tribulations will certainly get you closer to the Lord, because he wants you to experience a part of him that perhaps you will not experience when you have everything, when you have joy, when all your needs are being met. So he will use at times these trials and tribulations to purify you, to help you draw closer to who he is, because he wants you and I to be more like Jesus Christ our Lord. So he will use anything to perfect us while we are on earth. The Apostle Paul is a great example of how possible it is to be content not only in our present, but also in our future trials and tribulations. We know that his ministry spanned approximately 35 years from his conversion in 33 AD to his execution around 68 AD. We know that Paul was heavily disliked by the early church at first because he persecuted believers, separated entire families, imprisoned many, and killed some for their faith in Jesus Christ. So to gain their trust and acceptance, it took a lot of surrender from his part to the Lord and humbleness to be accepted into the community of faith. Once accepted into the community of faith, the heavy dislike from others because of who he represented now did not stop. In fact, prior to writing this letter to the Philippians, the Apostle Paul was to believe in chains or in prison at least three other times. As records in 2 Corinthians show, which was written years before he would write Philippians, he said the following in 2 Corinthians 11, 23 to 28. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and being exposed to death again and again. Five times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. Three times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. So as we can see, it is not impossible to experience contentment on this side of eternity as long as we don't stop learning how to be content in whatever situation or circumstance we are facing now or may face in our future. So again, these are opportunities for you to run to the feet of Jesus Christ, to move towards him, to come so that he will bless you with peace, with joy and strength to keep moving forward. So, Brother Paul, how can I be content? I'm glad you asked. Kingdom principle number two. Learn to rejoice in the Lord. I'll say it again. Learn to rejoice in the Lord. That is the secret to being content, my dear brothers and sisters, to be able to rejoice in the Lord in every situation and circumstance and throughout every trial and tribulation we face in life. The Apostle Paul was able to say in verse 10, I rejoiced greatly in the Lord, not because it was a catchy phrase to say or popular, but because it was his lifestyle from his conversion to his death. Yes, it is not easy to find joy in the midst of pain, suffering, and uncertainty. But it is not impossible to rejoice in Christ, our Lord, our greatest treasure, our loving Father, the sustainer of our lives, the one who knows you by name, the one who calls you his beloved son, beloved daughter. We can rejoice in Christ our Lord. In fact, we have plenty of reasons to rejoice in him that will surpass the anguish of any situation or circumstance that you will face in this life. Therefore, rejoice in our beautiful Savior and Redeemer when things get tough. Rejoice in knowing that he who called you is a faithful, merciful, and loving Father when you are struggling with your identity or your place in this world. Rejoice in the fact that he reigns. He is sovereign and more greater and powerful than what we can think, imagine, or comprehend when facing your greatest trials and tribulations. Some of you may know us from way back when we first came to El Camino back in July of 2011 to serve here and to plant a church in the inner city of Harrisburg. Others of you are getting to know our family and our story, and we are extremely grateful for the opportunity of knowing you. I can tell you that in the past 10 years, since the Lord called my wife and I to this region from Nyack, New York, we have endured many trials and tribulations. We know how it feels to be disliked by members of the body of Christ and other people. Being a servant leader and in ministry is not easy. It can get pretty messy really quick. We have experienced what it is to be in need. We live in the inner city of Harrisburg in a two-bedroom, one-bedroom apartment for our family of six. You know the saying when it says, you know, small beginnings, you gotta love them? It is true, but we are grateful that we are no longer in this small apartment. Because can you imagine four kids living in one room? One wakes up, you can believe it that the other three will wake up as well. We know what it is to have plenty. Since January of this year, we've had the privilege to live in the parsonage of our church where we have plenty of room for our family to enjoy and run around, and we get to invite others to our place, and we have a wonderful time. We have experienced the excitement to finally reach the end of a long and long and long trial. Just recently, our daughter, Abigail Joy, she's currently five now, overcame a 2-year and 3-month battle with leukemia thanks to our loving and faithful God. We have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation that comes our way, as painful, difficult, and challenging as it may have been, because we were intentional in choosing to rejoice in Christ our Lord instead of allowing disappointment, hurt, shame, uncertainty, battling with cancer, food allergies, and marital problems from completely destroying and consuming our family. Yes, It is not easy, but not impossible to rejoice in our Lord at all times and in all circumstances. In the past 10 years of our marriage, we have learned that Jesus Christ is so good, so merciful, and so faithful to those who own their mistakes, humble themselves, ask for forgiveness, and trust Christ above all things. Like the Apostle Paul, some of you know what it is like to rejoice in Him in the midst of trials and tribulations, to sing songs of praise in the middle of the storm, to speak life, blessing, freedom, and victory in dire situations and circumstances. Others of you are beginning to learn that it is better to rejoice in Him than to allow our trials and tribulations from completely destroying and consuming you. Regardless of where we are in our learning process, to be content in every situation and circumstance, know that it is not impossible to rejoice in Christ our Lord in every trial and tribulation. Finally, Kingdom principle number 3, learn to receive His strength daily. Learn to receive His strength daily. The Apostle Paul said a powerful statement in verse 13. He said, "I can do all this through Him who gives me strength." I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. We must learn to place ourselves in a position where we can receive from our mighty God a daily dose of His strength, especially during difficult times. Being in prayer, reading His word, praising His mighty name, and doing these things with other believers will surely help you position yourself to receive a dose of His strength on a daily basis. And before I go further, please, please, please do not mistake this powerful statement as a command to do anything that your flesh or will like to do. This statement is not a free pass to sin all we want. This statement does not mean that you can do unrealistic things like jumping from a plane without a parachute and hoping to land safe, or climb Mount Everest without any training, practice, or experience whatsoever. This statement also does not mean that we can overwrite His perfect and good will for our lives by choosing to do our will instead. With that being said, let me explain what this powerful statement means. I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. Means that you can certainly be content in every situation and circumstance and be able to rejoice in Christ our Lord no matter how painful, difficult, or challenging your trial and tribulation may be. As we learned from Pastor Duane 2 Sundays ago, this statement means that you can surely make disciples of Jesus Christ regardless of your profession. We are all commissioned to go and make disciples. This statement means that we have the strength from our God to walk away from sinful and destructive patterns that have the ability to destroy you and those around you. I can say with God's mighty strength in me, without fear of what you may think of me or being overcome by shame, that I have been set free from bondage from an on and off a struggle with pornography for 5 months now, thanks to the one who gives us generously of His strength to overcome sinful and destructive patterns in our lives. If I can be set free from bondage, you can also be set free from your bondage. So I encourage you to consider even now, if you are struggling, whatever your struggle may be, we all have perhaps at least one struggle because we're not perfect. Do not leave this place walking in darkness, feeling guilt and shame. The Lord Jesus Christ has the power to set us free. So let us walk in freedom, in the love of Christ. And he wants to set you free today if you are willing. Paul's powerful statement means that we have the strength from our God to be able to ask for forgiveness to those who we have wronged and be able to extend grace and forgiveness to those who have offended or hurt us, just as our Lord has forgiven us. As we learned from Pastor Randy last Sunday, this statement means that we can be used by our mighty God for the deliverance, healing, and transformation of others so that they can be more encouraged to walk in holiness. This life-changing statement means that it is not impossible to be influenced, filled, or empowered by His Holy Spirit on a regular basis so that we can learn the secret of living an abundant life here on earth. A life that will not only bless our lives and the lives of others, but also will ultimately glorify our great and mighty King here on earth. So to conclude, my dear brothers and sisters, if we truly desire to have abundant life here on earth, we must learn to be content in every situation and circumstance. We must learn to rejoice in Christ our Lord when we face any kind of trial and tribulation. We must learn to position ourselves to receive from our God a dose of His strength on a daily basis. So as we close this service, the Lord has been speaking to your heart. Perhaps you are finding yourself right now feeling discontentment. Perhaps you are in the middle of a trial or tribulation. The Lord knows your need. The Lord knows your struggle. And so we want to encourage you to stand or come up front to receive prayer. If you are going to stand, cry out to God from where you are, whether inwardly or outwardly, and allow the Lord to minister to you. If you want us to pray for you, some of our servant leaders are going to be here for you to pray. And what it means to come or to stand up. Biblically, we know that the Lord wants us to pray for others, to lay hands, because by doing so, we are ministering in the love of Christ, and we are actually tangibly helping you receive His forgiveness, receive His healing and transformation. So if you're ready today to humble yourselves, to acknowledge your brokenness, your need for contentment, your need to rejoice in Christ our Lord, and your need for strength to continue to walk as you follow the Lord with all of your heart, mind, soul, and being, would you stand and cry out to God with your need and your brokenness? Anna is going to be playing the piano, so this is a time for you to process, for you to allow the Lord to continue to speak to your heart. And we're going to be here. My wife and I are going to be here for you if you need prayer, and others will stand here for you. So come if you want to receive prayer, and just know that God is for you. He loves you, and He has so much that He's willing to do in and through you. So let us continue to worship our mighty God.